Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Stan Sinclair, the Dean of the VA's Learning University and Chief Learning Officer at the Veterans Health Administration. And joining me in our conversation is another PwC partner, Greg Greven. Well, Stan, the VA issued a strategic plan that runs through FY 2006. How does EES fit into that plan?
The most important piece about the strategic plan from an employee standpoint is that we are very interested in having capable, skilled employees that take us into the future. We want to make sure that we can be an employer of choice and that when employees are with us, we can provide them with a continuous learning environment and culture that will allow them to stay skilled in whatever profession they're in. So, by fitting into the strategic plan, our goal is to make sure that we have a ready workforce. And in the employee education system, as well as in the VA Learning University, that's a primary goal, to be in touch with what the department needs, skill set-wise and employee-wise, to take us into the future.
In recent years, there's been a consistent message from VA leadership in the area of workforce development. How are you personally taking an active role in this area?
This is a very critical initiative for us in the VA. I'm personally involved in being part of the steering committee of making sure that workforce development happens across the department. In VHA, I'm also involved in that particular group as co-chairing a group of folks that are looking at workforce development and succession planning. Again, the objective here is to make sure that we're in touch with what the needs are of the organization in the future and begin to plan to provide learning to cover those needs.
What are the different delivery methods to provide education to employees?
Currently, we're very much in the traditional mode of delivering much of our education anyway in the classroom environment. What we're trying to do at VA is move us into a future look at that through electronic learning, web-based training, as well as through using satellites. We have three channels across our system, and one of those is primarily used for communications. So one of the things we want to try to do is to begin across VA, keep in mind that we literally have employees in approximately 1,000 locations around the country. So classroom instruction is not meeting our needs. What we want to do is to use the technology to begin to get the knowledge to the fingertips, to the point to where the employees are. So satellites, web-based electronic learning opportunities, as well as still the traditional methods when we need to.
I imagine you're constantly getting requests from the field or from employees about their various training needs. Given a limited budget and limited staff, how do you deal with priorities?
Well, we have put together what I would call an integration council, which is made up of leadership from central office headquarters and the chief officers in the Veterans Health Administration, as well as leadership from the field, including VISN directors and hospital directors. And what we've done is, based on that, we've developed a list of 19 learning priorities for VHA, the Health Administration. To accommodate that, I have approximately 280 employees that are in around 10 sites around the country. And so we took those learning priorities and divided it among the skill set of my staff around the country. For example, obviously when being in the hospital business, we have three centers that are dedicated to clinical education, one being in New York, St. Louis, and Birmingham. And therefore, we're able to be in constant touch with the needs of what the chief officers and the employees across the system are in need of. It also gives us a chance to make sure that we have prioritized and that we're meeting the needs of the organization.
What are the benefits of providing training online, and is it effective?
Well, there's several answers to that. Go back to the scenario of having over 200,000 employees in over 1,000 locations. Classroom training is just very difficult and very hard to have that meet all of our training needs, that modality. The satellite gives you an opportunity to reach everyone. Literally, you can reach everyone. We have an initiative going now. Let me put it this way. If you're in the VA now and you're going to observe a broadcast, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 downlinks around the system. And so if you're in a hospital or a regional office, we're able to communicate over the satellite system. What we want to do, though, is we realize that if we've changed and moved to more of an outpatient care environment, many of our employees are not accessible even to a satellite broadcast. So we have a pilot going now in two visits to where we're beginning to deliver satellites at the desktop. What we're doing is we're putting servers around the system where the broadcasts are stored on those servers, and then employees can go in and access those and see those at their convenience. We really are in the business of trying to deliver communications and knowledge at the desktop, so this is a strategy that we've employed. We hope that by the end of this year, by the end of December, that we'll have that technology available to approximately 35% to 40% of our employees, and next year we'll continue to close that gap. Does it work? An interesting question. What we found is when you're using the satellite system, if you get into a 2-hour or 3-hour broadcast, you lose people very quickly. If you're in a position, though, to where you can have quick learning objectives and keep the broadcast under 30 minutes and make it interactive, by that I mean allow the individuals on the other end of to either call in questions or have it to where they can use a touchpad to interact with you, that type of environment is very effective. But keep in mind, you have to keep your learning objectives down to one or two, not to a long period of time.
Stan, back to the question on priorities. What are some of the learning priorities in the VHA in non-clinical areas?
In non-clinical areas, we're looking at areas such as finance, procurement, IT. They're all the cross-cutting type initiatives or programs that go across our entire hospital system, but also across the entire VA. I think that when you get into the business of trying to deliver that those types of programs, you'll find that, for example, an accounting person, accounting technician, that job is the same no matter where you go in VA. And so it allows us an opportunity to leverage that occupation across our whole organization. So that's the kind of things that we're doing. We're picking out, based on the needs of the organization, cross-cutting learning opportunities that will allow us to service the whole department, not just VHA.
Have you looked to partner outside of VA?
Yes, we're doing quite a bit of that. As a matter of fact, if I had 10 listeners on this phone or on this radio show today that would be willing to give me a call, I would say that I would enjoy quite a bit of dialogue around this very topic. An example, finance occupations, procurement occupations, IT, HR, and others are the same no matter where you are in government. So probably the one lesson that we can learn from each other is that we don't all need to be going and doing our own thing. We really do need to spend time partnering. We really do need to take advantage of what others are doing across government and put ourselves in the business of really taking advantage and leveraging what's available.
What's the feedback from the recipients of this communication and training?
It's very early. By that I mean we just within the last few months put up the 3 channels in the sky. Before that, we were using mostly an analog system. The one we have now is digital. And the analog system, it was pretty effective, especially in VBA. We were also using it, but we never really concentrated on using the system as a communication system. As we speak, we're having a small studio built in our headquarters. We're going around and providing training to all the chief officers and the leadership of VA to get them engaged in learning about how to use the small studio, the teleprompters, and things like that. And so what we're doing is we're beginning to put out a schedule. And initially, we're going to do a live broadcast 2 or 3 hours a day, 2 or 3 days a week, and then we'll build on that. But clearly, you know, you have to keep in mind that our employees that are sitting out in the field aren't going to have time to sit down and watch the satellite all day either. So what we're trying to be very strategic on this and making sure as we plan that we can put these broadcasts out at good times for employees. In VHA, we have shift work. I mean, hospital is a 24-hour day, so we are broadcasting on the first shift, second shift, third shift, and rebroadcasting as necessary. I think that the real benefit and the real outcome will be when we're able for individuals to see these delayed broadcasts at their desktop. And that way, we will have been able, I think, to meet the needs.
Well, it's time for a break. We'll be back with more of the Business of Government Hour and our conversation with Stan Sinclair.